I'm just curious.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to bring this evening's board meeting to order. As always, we start with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm going to ask my colleague, Kathy Green, to lead us this evening.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to ask the our council to address us at this time before we call the roll.
No problem. I've just I was notified earlier today that one of the directors, Director Meeks, is feeling under the weather, and she could have she could potentially be contagious. So she qualifies to use a just cause basis for remote participation pursuant to SB 707. Just one thing, I guess I see we have just. Director Meeks on here. Do you have any, are there any adults in the room with you, Director Meeks? I'm supposed to disclose that.
No, good. No, there are no other people here.
Very good. Okay, back to you.
That sounds pretty legitimate. So, Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Call Director Amezcua. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Jung.
Present.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
Director here. Nguyen.
Director Sheldon.
Here.
Thank you.
Director Nguyen. Director Tran.
Here.
Director Weigand.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
You do have a quorum with nine directors present.
Thank you. Mr. General Manager, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Great. Now is the time for visitor participation. If anyone would like to address the board on subject matters within our jurisdiction. I see no one in the chamber. Do we see anyone online? Nope. Okay, well, that moves us to the consent calendar, which consists of items 1 through 3.
Move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, you call the roll.
Director Mesqua? Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Aye.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Weigand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
That motion carries with 8 yes votes, with Directors Amezcua and Nguyen absent.
Great. That brings us to item 4 under informational items, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's proposed plan for the North Basin Interim Remedy.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, so Amanda Cruz is here from the EPA, and she's going to give us an update on the North Basin Superfund site and the progress they've been making and what they see coming ahead in the near future here.
Fantastic. Welcome, Amanda, and looking forward to your presentation.
Thank you. I'm also under the weather, so I'm glad to be virtual. So apologies if my voice goes out a moment. I'm going to get started. Let me know if we have any problems with screen share. Are we all set?
All good.
Looks great.
Okay, fabulous. So I am Amanda Cruz. I am the Remedial Project Manager at Orange County North Basin, working on, So I've been working on contaminated projects now for over 20 years. I have been with the EPA coming on 9. I've been a federal employee. I came from the Army previously for about 17 years. And I'm really proud to be working on this project. It gives me a lot of pride to say I work on 2.5 million people's drinking water here in Orange County. Jackie Lane is our community involvement coordinator who helps us with a lot of the outreach. I do want to just make one little important note that we do not have a court reporter present today, so we are not able to enter any comments into the record. In the event you do have a comment, I would please welcome and ask you to come to our public meetings, enter them in, or go through any of the other process we have in entering in comments. So we do have a long partnership with Orange County Water District on this project. We briefed the board in November 2020. At that time, it was focused on the listing. And then again in September 21 to update you on the drilling. So we're really happy to be here today, talk about the update on the progress we've made and what our next steps are. Overview of the agenda. I'm going to try and keep it as brief as possible. So our site is the groundwater plume that has been, the water supply has been contaminated at this point in time. It's about a 6.4-mile plume total. This plume has resulted in six production wells being shut down. And Orange County North Basin's goal as a Superfund site is to protect the groundwater supply to ensure continuous drinking water for the use. The public comment period is built into law. For this project, we added a 45-day, we added some extra time in our public comment period because this is a large project, to allow the public to read all the documents associated with it and provide written comments. The date to provide written comments before is February 19th. Those comments can be submitted by mail, email, as listed here, or at any of the public meetings that we will be having. We'll have three public meetings with court reporters. I will please ask you to encourage any constituents to come to attend the meetings. It's a similar presentation to what I'm giving today, a little more detail, and a little less community focus, or excuse me, community, city leader focus, more community focus, but very similar information. So let's jump into the brief background of what is Superfund, the program I work for, and why we're here. So the Superfund process is set out in law. That law is called the National Contingency Plan. This is a representation of what a site goes through from its evaluation all the way through the listing. As I mentioned previously, in 2020 is the time in which we listed this site. The goals of our program, most importantly, is to protect human health and the environment, and then to involve the communities to restore their areas to beneficial use. So you can see the last tenet here, and one of the most important is the polluters pay, and that's the term we use. There are different ways that a Superfund site can be funded in general. There is a tax, so the super fund is a tax that was placed on chemicals that were produced, handled, manufactured. It started back in the 80s, and that is set up for a situation where, for whatever reason, a potentially responsible party can't pay. They may no longer exist, or a variety of other reasons that are determined. But in this instance, we do expect to work with the responsible parties to perform the cleanup. So, as I mentioned, this site was listed in 2020. So, this is a relatively new Superfund site in comparison to some of the ones we've had since the 90s. We have partnered with Orange County Water District since that date to create and finalize both the remedial investigation and the feasibility study. And it was due to our partnership with Orange County Water District that we were able to move this through so fast. So we are very grateful for our partnership. So a little bit, as I mentioned, it is a 6.4 site in its totality, underneath sources of Anaheim, Fullerton, and Buena Park at this point. These are chlorinated solvents that have contaminated the groundwater. The area that we are talking about in our current proposed remedy is the area in the polygon, and that's what we are addressing in what is called an interim remedy. So next up, what is an interim remedy? It is something that we take before we have a final solution for the whole site. We always take into account full site considerations and any known final future remedies to not cause a conflict. We think of it as this is the first step while we are establishing the entire final site remedies. And this is very typical. Over 80% of California Superfund sites have a groundwater component to them. So we are very, very familiar with addressing California groundwater. This map here shows all of the groundwater plumes in Southern California in the purple. These sites all operate pump and treat systems similar to what we're going to talk about today. Some of these are in final remedy, but most all of these remain in interim status. Two of the biggest examples that I can give you are San Fernando and San Gabriel Valley, where they have very large groundwater plumes that have remained in interim status since the 1990s. So, for instance, North Hollywood, which I'm actually the RPM for, so I know a little more about it, they're in their third iteration of an interim. At San Fernando, just in the North Hollywood operable unit, we have two operating systems similar to what we're talking about today. And those two systems have removed over 9,000 pounds of chemical. We're currently starting our construction for the third interim remedy, which will provide 100 million gallons of drinking water to LA residents. So this just is, one of the many examples to show how common and effective interim remedies are. So for our interim remedy here, shown in this pink polygon, this is the area where the highest concentrations have been observed. We have a large number of our known sources located within this polygon. So we are taking an action now to prevent the situation from getting worse by stopping the highest levels of contamination from moving out to the side or dropping down to where the drinking water or production wells are located. So by taking this first step action now, we will reduce the total amount of contamination from a future full site remedy, thus making a long-term cleanup easier. Meanwhile, we are still continuing to go through the process to address the entire plume. This interim action follows the same process as a final action. We have the proposed plan, which we're currently in, and a public comment period, which again goes until February 19th. Then we'll enter a record of decision. That record of decision will take into account all of the investigation evaluations to date, along with a responsiveness summary to each and every public comment that is received. So, following that record of decision is when we enter the cleanup phase, where we will work with the responsible companies to implement the remedy that is ultimately selected. So, let's get into some of the science and what we partnered with Orange County Water District for. The first step is called a remedial investigation or an investigation study. This looks at the nature and extent of the contamination. Where is it? What is it located? How far? And most importantly, what is the risk? And this was completed in June of 2022. For the purposes of public communication, we've used the term evaluation study, but most all of you are familiar with the actual technical term, which is a feasibility study. And that's the next phase that we do in our process. This is where we look at how to address the concerns of the site. We finalized this in August of 2025. And the way in which we look at our options. Sorry, my advancing is not working. There we go. The way we look at our options, we first screen them against things such as how will we make this less toxic, more safe? How is this possible? So some of the things we have to make sure that there is available technology and it's feasible. And what are the costs? Are those in a reasonable range? So given the large area that we were dealing with, a lot of our alternatives were screened out just not being possible. So that left us for five cleanup options that our plan looked at. Here's all of our options listed in one slide. We'll go through them in more detail so you can understand how we made an informed decision. You can see we did look at the no action alternative. That's a legal requirement to assess against a baseline. A no action alternative does not reduce any of the toxicity or make the site any safer. So we did not evaluate that as a proposed option in our plan. One thing it is really important and we're pretty proud of is that all of the options that are listed here reuse the water and return it back into the aquifer so that no water is wasted. So this is our proposed plan. The goal of our interim action were to prevent, as I mentioned, prevent the contamination from spreading and also to continue to protect the residents from being exposed to contaminated groundwater. The way in which we select a final remedy is to screen it against EPA's nine criteria that are listed here. So I'm going to dive into each one of the alternatives. It is important to note this alternative or this project is a lot of water. So for the public, I explain it's 3.3 billion gallons of water annually, but you all can understand it's 10,700 acre feet per year. So some of our alternatives just could not handle that capacity. So for instance, option number two, that option is which we would install the groundwater extraction wells. We would then go through the existing sanitary sewer lines, and those would go to the GWRS and then in for further infiltration after going through the POTW. However, the system does not have any, or excuse me, enough capacity to handle all of that gallon, all those gallons of water. Alternative number three was the direct serve option. So in this option, we would be extracting the wells using our new extraction wells, and we would be building a new treatment plant. So at this new treatment plant, this would not be using the GWRS or the POTW or OC San. So for this well, we would then be serving it to either Anaheim or Fullerton. However, due to the amount of volume, neither Anaheim or Fullerton were able to handle that capacity of water to their current system. Alternative four, we would install new extraction wells, a new treatment plant, and then we would install injection wells to re-inject the water outside of our area of our interim. Now, this would allow the water to be readily available in the aquifer for reuse, but outside of the area, so it would not be recontaminated. Alternative number five, extract the groundwater, treat it at a new treatment plant, and then we would use newly constructed infiltration basins. Now, keep in mind, these are approximately 6 acres in size. So, finding size for a treatment plant and the infiltration basins in a highly developed area in Orange County with the suitable hydrology was a little bit tricky. And then we have number six. Number six was put in as an evaluation option in the event we wanted some flexibility during remedial design. In this alternative, we would look at having two treatment plants and then partial infiltration basin and partial institutional controls. As I went through all these options, you may have heard, most of them had a lot of constraints. Number four is our preferred alternative: groundwater extraction, treatment at a new centralized plant, with then discharge through injection wells. In order to implement this, we have our plant operates approximately 6,546 gallons per minute. We have the new wells, all of our pipelines, and then we do have a performance monitoring program in which we will determine the effectiveness of our containment, along with any needs and changes in our containment alternatives, maybe more wells, a higher pumping rate, et cetera. And we will have restrictions for groundwater use to prevent any future wells from being put in without proper controls in place, so residents are not inadvertently exposed. We believe that alternative four will be the most effective in preventing contamination from the target area from spreading out and further contaminating areas and shutting down more production wells. I do encourage public comment. This is a QR code that'll take you to read the comment, read the proposed plan and provide any comments. I have created some slides for you just for future use. Now, these are questions that we anticipate you may be asked for constituents, so you can keep them ready if you do have any that come up. So some of the questions you may get: what is Superfund? We basically want to explain to people that Superfund is what is set up to handle the worst of the worst in our country. I often talk about the national priorities list, how this is where the country has ranked and selected it as Superfund. And the goals of our Superfund site truly are restoring to beneficial use and making those responsible pay. One of the questions you may get from citizens, constituents, are how will this affect your city budget or how will this affect your water bill? It's important to reassure them this will not be affecting their water bill from our actions because these will be funded through the polluter pays principle. And a really big public concern that we want to constantly address is that no one is currently being exposed to contaminated groundwater above EPA's drinking water standards. You know better than anyone, Orange County Water District has a very robust sampling program, and all of the city's serving water are very responsive to any exceedances. And those are some statistics there. About 85% of the water that's coming from your wells. I would like to encourage a lot of participation at our public meetings. We really want to have the public hear our proposals and provide comments. So if you could share these meeting dates to have some people come, that would be great. And then if you ever need me, here is my contact information. Or if you'd like to coordinate for some community involvement, that is Jackie's. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Amanda at this time? I see Director Meeks has her hand up.
Yes. I'm sorry. Can you go back to the slide with the polygon on it and the arrows?
I'm going to
And
try. Let's see how
you might be able to answer it without the map, but where it showed the contamination area colored, there's this extra arrow to the south. And from my understanding, that's kind of the flow of the groundwater, but that area is not contaminated yet. Is that what I'm seeing in that map?
So this would not be part of our site. I do believe there are some localized contamination. This is not a plume, excuse me, this is not a map of the entire basin's concentrations. This is a map associated with the Superfund site. So there are some areas that have some contamination. However, those will be localized to be part of the Superfund site. They do have origination from known source sites. And so known source sites are in this area.
So would the city be addressing, need to address that if the city of Anaheim, wherever that is, or the water district, who's ever pumping that water out, if we have wells in that area? It's kind of a random arrow there that I think draws questions from the
So this is
community.
just a groundwater flow. It's just showing the flow, groundwater
Okay,
flow.
that's what I thought it was, just
Yep.
groundwater flow,
I just
not
noticed we don't
contamination.
have the map on the legend on here. We did have it before, and I don't know what happened because it actually went the other way, and I complained, why couldn't they turn it that way? And somehow it's lost. So thank you for letting me know that our groundwater flow legend has been removed from my slide.
Okay. All right. So that is just groundwater flow. It is not an indication of contamination. All
Correct. It's just a flow.
right. Thank you. That's what I needed.
Great. Are there any other questions? No other questions. Well, Amanda, thank you very much for your presentation this evening. We've been working on this for quite a while, obviously, and we're looking forward to the remedy being implemented.
Yes, we are. We have a lot of support, a lot of political support in moving this forward. So we're very fortunate to have all of that support. We appreciate, again, Orange County Water District, you've been instrumental in keeping this project moving forward. So I greatly enjoyed working with Dave and look forward to implementing this and continuing to protect all of the production wells in the area.
Great. Okay, then we'll move on to item number five, which is the Public Affairs Outreach Report.
Yeah, Mr. President, Gina Ayala, you have a report on recent activity in the Public Affairs Department. This is information that we used to give to the Legislative Communications Committee, but there's a lot of really good information here, and we thought we'd have a better audience with the full board. So that's why we're starting to present it to the full board now.
All right. Good evening, President Bilodeau and members of the board. I prepared a few slides. So in the packet, you do have information regarding public outreach for the months of November and December. We didn't have a December COMLEG meeting, so we didn't report at that time due to the Aqua Conference. So you have the report, but I just wanted to highlight. Let's see if I can advance. Okay. Just wanted to highlight a few items in the report. So I have a few slides and then a short video at the end. So we continue to get really robust coverage of our projects and programs here at the district. So for the months of November and December, we had over 19 million in global media reach. We did have a lot of coverage when President Bilodeau and John went to Saudi Arabia to present on GWRS, PFAS, and kind of best practices here to share with a global audience. And then we had recognition as well from Aqua for our safety award. And the other article featured is news about the new well in Fountain Valley. For November and December, for social media highlights, so we continue to have our most active platform for the district is LinkedIn, but we continue to utilize all the programs and platforms. So we have been really trying to showcase staff, the great work that they do, and we seem to get a lot of engagement with that. So just for November and December, we had over 47,000 social media impressions. And we did a video here on my left. And who is that, Mayhol?
Eric.
That's right, Eric Gauthier. He was a great sport. And this video we posted just recently, and there's over like 10,000 views. So we continue to do really well showcasing our staff, the great work they do, and also exposing the public and especially students to water careers. So we're trying to target like our tour program, speakers bureau, and all that. We're trying to generate a lot more interest and awareness about careers in the water industry. As we know, we want to get young people excited about these types of careers. Our speakers bureau program continues to be very active. In 2025, we had about 80 speakers bureau engagements. So this just contains a few pictures from some of the speakers bureau opportunities that we had in November and December. As you can see here, the conference in Saudi Arabia that John and President Bilodeau attended was quite nice. They had a great audiovisual setup. So there's a few photos featured there. Quarterly webinar. So OCWD continues to host quarterly webinars. I would say we used to do them on a monthly basis, and then we have combined kind of in-person and virtual outreach, and so we decreased our webinars to quarterly. But we're still getting a really great response to our webinars. Our last webinar was hosted in mid-December, and it was about our PFAS program and sharing an internal dashboard that we're using. We got about 250 folks that signed up. We ended up getting about 130 live attendees, but there continues to be a lot of interest in the programs and the content that we're putting out. So we will continue to work on these and feature all the great stuff that our staff is doing. Since we are in January, I wanted to mention some kind of 2025 highlights. So for our tour program, we saw about 3,000 guests in 2025, and we are, what, January 7th, and we already have 600 folks signed up to tour the plant in 2026. So overall, we had about 150 tours in 2025. That averages about 3 per week. Most of our tours are of the groundwater replenishment system, but we do offer tours of our lab, of our recharge operations, of Prado, and then some combined tours as well. We had a lot of international interest, and I would say over the years we always have, so we continue to get that. We had about 10 visits or tours from different countries in 2025. And I would say the largest group that we continue to get really are the school groups. So the nursing students, the high schools, and the colleges, that makes up about 50% of our tour guests. I did want to take an opportunity to mention that we are bottling GWRS water again. So here is a sample of what the new label will look like. We anticipate that we'll get these. They're actually not going to be bottles, they're cans. So we anticipate that we'll get the bottles in the next couple months. We're just working out logistics with sampling and bottling. But we will be able to share this again to increase education and awareness about water reuse projects. So we use these to, you know, send to members of the public, to send to other agencies who are looking at doing similar projects so that they could, you know, hand these cans or bottles to their constituents. And they could actually taste and see the type of water that's produced from a plant like this. So this is one really effective method that outreach seems to be very successful in garnering support. So we'll continue to help out OCWD and then other projects as well in providing this water. We have a couple of upcoming events I wanted to mention. I know we have three directors so far interested in attending the TET Parade. So that will take place on February 21st. We have directors Nguyen, Tran, and Jung, who are slated to attend. And so we will have the same setup as last year with some vehicles and staff to help in the parade procession. And then President Bilodeau is presenting in London on PFAS at World Water Tech. We have the Water Reuse Symposium in March, so several staff will be attending. It's local, it's in Los Angeles, so we'll have a big presence from OCWD. And then we have the Children's Water Education Festival coming up April 15th and 16th. So as of the writing of this report, we had about 5,500, but we now have about 6,000 students who are registered. We'll be sending out confirmation soon. So we're excited to bring this field trip once again to Oak Canyon Park. And then a couple of 2025 highlights. So I mentioned the tours. Here are our website views. So we get over 300,000 website views. GWRS and meeting and agendas always tends to be favorite pages. We did invite over 6,000 guests to join our OCWD events in 2025. We had over 1,000 views for our webinar. So we either have, we count live views and then we post the webinars after on YouTube. So we count those views that were watched as well. We had 80 speaking engagements and press releases and digital communications up there, over 50 of those. And with that, I wanted to end in just showing a 1-minute video we put together. It's just kind of a highlight reel, very short, very visual, different than things we've done in the past year. So we're trying to kind of hop onto a trend. So it's 1 minute and really just showcases a lot of our operations and great visuals that we have. Let's see. Thank you. And that's the end of the video. So just want to give credit to Adrian Ramirez. He did a great job in putting that together and showcasing some of the great photos and footage we have here at the district. That concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions for Gina? Director Tran.
One quick question. Thank you so much for the recap for 2025 and the presentation. This question is for you, perhaps even Manager Kennedy can also chime in. I know that we have an ongoing project to rehabilitate or refurbish the exhibits. The exhibits outside. I wonder where we are with that process right now, and when we're going to be able to implement for the public.
Yes, so the board approved issuing an RFP. We'll be bringing that back to the board.
The feasibility study will be advertised next week, and it'll probably be the following month we'll be bringing it back to the board.
So we'll bring back hiring a consultant to look at different options on where we could build a facility on our campus. And then that would house our exhibits and presentations at that. So first, we just want to start off with where do we think we could put the facility? We'll get some technical expertise in here and look at different sizes and different costs and then go from there.
And if I may add to that, John and Director Tran, the committee actually convened a couple of times. We did site visits. We looked at, you know, Mesa Waters Education Center. We looked at Anaheim's. We looked at the Albert Robles Center. And then we also researched other local centers and brought that information to the committee so they could have an understanding of kind of what's out there and what's been done. And then, as John said, this is our next step in the process. But we will definitely bring an update as we move forward.
Thank you so much.
Great. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Gina. That'll bring us to committee conference meeting reports. The property committee, Chair Sheldon. Director Sheldon, do you have a report on the property committee? I'm going to guess that the meeting minutes are contained in the packet. So we'll probably go with that. Is there any reports on committees, conferences, meetings attended at district expense at which a quorum of the board is present? Hearing none. Verbal reports, president's report. Just wanted to wish everyone a happy new year and wanted to thank John Kennedy for providing all the rain. General manager's report.
Yes, Mr. President, I have four quick items regarding all the rain. As of today, we have 19,000 acre feet of water captured behind Prado Dam. So we were hoping to maybe get a little more, but we'll take the 19,000 acre feet. We're up to elevation just under 505. We're at like 504.7 or something. If it doesn't rain again, it'll probably take us close to 2 months to get all that water out and down and percolated in our recharge basins in Anaheim. So I'm glad to have that water behind Prado. I wanted to mention we received a $200,000 planning grant from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. It's for our Sunset Gap feasibility work. So that was nice to get that to help pay for all that feasibility work we're doing on potentially constructing another barrier up at the Sunset Gap to prevent seawater intrusion. We also were notified right after Christmas that we're going to get another $1.5 million from the state to help with our PFAS projects. That's from the State Water Resources Control Board. So we're now up to a total of about $110 million from the state to help with all the PFAS work we're doing. And I wanted to mention SAPA is having a dinner on January 22nd. It's for their 50-year anniversary. If any board members would like to attend, let staff know. We have a table. So it's up in Harupa, it's just west of downtown Riverside. So let us know. Okay. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, John. Go ahead.
On the rain events, our staff they're out there working extra overtime when they're when these rain events occur, right?
Yeah, a lot of staff were working on Christmas Day and New Year's
Yeah,
Day.
just wanted to highlight that we're all, cozied up with our coffees and watching kids open, well, mine anyway, open gifts and not thinking about what's going on, but there's folks out there working hard to make sure that we trap and capture that water. So appreciative of those hardworking staff that give up their family time to be out there.
And I'm all the water captured behind Prado. We did not let any of that get to the ocean. So, yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for highlighting that, Director. That's a very important point. Are there any director reports? Seeing none, General Counsel report.
Yes, Mr. President, we have our first closed session of the calendar year for a discussion of existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1 in our PFAS litigation, OCWD versus 3M Company et al. And with that, recommend recess to closed session.
The board of recess.
All right, we've returned from closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9. And there are no reportable items from the closed session.
This meeting is adjourned.
If they want to give their copies to me.